Well, budget cuts and falling enrolments are having a serious impact on humanities subjects at universities across the country. Reports show that Australian literature courses are among the first to be scaled back or sometimes even shut down. Last year, Australia's top-ranked university, Melbourne University, ended its Australian literature course after its sole lecturer resigned. Now, a new review is recommending the university's Australian Studies program also be cut. The decisions have angered students and have been condemned by some senior academics. Stephanie Guest is a third-year English student at Melbourne University. She says her frustration at the university's failure to offer an Australian literature course has led her to start up an informal course for other students also interested in studying local literature. So what is the state of Australian literature in our tertiary institutions? Joining me now is Stephanie Guest, on the line from Melbourne, is Sue Martin, Associate Professor in English at La Trobe University, and from Sydney, Dr. Bernadette Brennan, a Senior Lecturer with the Arts Faculty at Sydney University, and she's also the President of the Association for the Study of Australian Literature. Welcome to the Book Show to all of you. But first, if I could start with Bernadette. Bernadette Brennan, are things as dire as at Australia's other universities for Australian literature as they seem to be at Melbourne University?
Well, no, I think we're in a fairly special position here at Sydney. We, of course, had the first chair of Australian literature. That's not to say that we don't have to constantly defend Australian literature, which Professor Robert Dixon here is often called on to do. But at least here at Sydney, we have a specialised undergraduate major fully in Australian literature. If students choose to do that, we have a specialised honours stream in Australian literature. And we have quite a healthy bunch of postgraduates studying Australian literature. So I think Sydney is in a fairly good position as opposed to Melbourne or some of the other universities.
Well, Sue Martin, you're a lecturer of Australian literature at La Trobe University in Victoria. How solid is your Australian literature course?
Well, I think like a number of other universities in Melbourne and around the country, we're also threatened by budget cuts, but we have quite healthy enrolments in Australian literature also, and we are still teaching Australian literature despite the cutbacks and the pressures that we're under. Enrolments go up and down, I must say. Melbourne doesn't teach subjects now that get lower than 60 enrolments, whereas the cutoff at La Trobe is currently 30. So whereas our subjects range between about 90 and 30. Under the Melbourne rule, we might lose some of them if they went down that low. We're still teaching Australian literature, and I think we're very committed to still offering the Australian literature subjects that we have, but the range of Australian literature subjects has reduced over the years.
Well, Bernadette Brennan, as the president of the Australian the Association for the Study of Australian Literature, what's the situation around the rest of the country? Tasmania, Perth, Brisbane.
Well, if we start in Tasmania, that's a fairly dire situation, and the University of Tasmania has lost its final academic in Australian literature, and our representative down there is Ralph Spaulding, who has quite a lot to do with the English Teachers Association down there. So he's trying to stimulate more interest in teaching Australian literature in high schools, but the situation in the university sector is not good. But places like Perth, they have a new chair of Australian literature in Philip Mead. There is all sorts of exciting developments happening in Perth, particularly with Australian literature and its engagement with Southeast Asia. There's all sorts of research going on in Queensland with the Fryer Library and a strong research culture up there with all sorts of teaching programs and the Australian literature database coming out of there. So there's interest all around the country, and it's sometimes stronger than others, but certainly it's not as dire as a few years ago when there was the anxiety written up in the newspapers about Australian literature is dying across the nation. It doesn't seem to be dying across the nation. The interest continues to be there.
Well, Sue Martin, you used to work at Melbourne University, didn't you, as an Australian literature lecturer for a few years?
Yes, I did.
And last week the university was named Australia's top university by the ARWU, a Chinese international university ranking group. Does it surprise you that an elite university will teach Shakespeare but not Patrick White or Christina Stead or Nam Lee?
It is surprising. I think that it's not the case that Melbourne is never going to teach Australian literature again. They're in a bit of a slump, but they have been a bit intermittent in their commitment to Australian literature compared to other universities around the country. And I think the demise of the Australian Centre is a symptom of that as well. I think it is very important to keep looking at the national literature to interrogate ideas about nation and nationhood. It doesn't have to be a teaching of rah-rah nationalism to keep the students interested. In fact, that may be why students at Melbourne have gone off Australian literature, that the recent kind of uses of Australian studies have been quite conservative, and that's their understanding of what Australian literature is as a very conservative, all about war and whiteness. But of course, as Bernadette's just pointed out, there's very exciting, more diverse things happening in Australian literature. And those possibilities are being explored at other universities.
Well, Bernadette Brennan, it seems kind of remarkable. I can't imagine us doing a story about French literature not being taught in France or American literature not being taught in America. What is the answer to this? Is it something about how Australian students are exposed to Australian writing maybe during high school?
I would say that is one of the most central aspects about this debate. How are students exposed to Australian literature and what kind of Australian literature in high school? And I would argue that students who discover some of the really, truly wonderful texts that have been written by our writers become enthused in a way that students all over the world become enthused about all sorts of great literature, leaving aside the fact that it is Australian. Well, one of our main goals here at the University of Sydney over the last 4 years has been to introduce first-year students to Australian literature in its international context, to try and get rid of that idea that Sue was suggesting, that Australian literature is some conservative, white, nationalist rhetoric. And what we do is we introduce students to texts set within a transnational conversation, texts talking to and about all sorts of ideas, places, cultures. And students at the end of every first year semester, when I say to them, so is that what you thought Australian literature was going to be about? And invariably they say, no, we're amazed. Similarly, I get English honours students who do a specialised Australian literature honours unit in fourth year. And every year they say to me, I had no idea that this was Australian literature. I had no idea it was so exciting. So exposure is the key, I think, to students.
Well, here on The Book Show on ABC Radio National, Ramona Koval with you, we are talking about the state of Australian literature in Australian universities. Stephanie Guest is a third-year English student at Melbourne University. Her frustration at the university's failure to offer an Australian literature course led her to starting up an informal course. Stephanie Guest, do you feel as if you've gone to the wrong university now you've heard all this that's going on around the country?
Well, no, I mean, I certainly, when I began my degree, I didn't have any specific desire to study Australian literature. So at the time, it was the right choice, I think. But certainly, it sounds like if I want to continue studying Australian literature, I'd have to maybe try somewhere else.
That sounds very sad. Look, what exposure did you have to Australian books when you were in high school?
I went to school in Canberra, and there was one. Subject offered on Australian literature in my final 2 years, and there was 10 of us that took it, and it was the really daggy subject to take. And
what made it so daggy?
Well, I think it was the perception that we all had of Australian literature, and although the books that I read were actually really great, they sort of did still confirm that idea. We read My Brother Jack, which was a wonderful book, but it still was about, you know, world wars and men and sort of dusty scenes. And we also read Robert Drew, which I also liked a lot, but it was still, you know, hyper-Australian surf themes and puberty blues, actually, as well.
Yes, more surf. But I remember reading The Man Who Loved Children by Christina Stead when I was at high school. And I was
really
just absolutely knocked out. She was fantastic. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I'd never even heard of Christina Stead when I was in high school.
Yeah. Well, look, this is your third year at Melbourne University. So how much Australian literature have you covered in that time in your official course?
Very little. In first year, there's an introductory sort of course that was at the time called Contemporary and Modern Literature or something to that effect. And we looked at, you know, T.S. Eliot and everyone, and we looked at a couple of poems by John Forbes. And at the time, I really disliked them. I think I'm coming around to him a bit now, but I really disliked them and most of the people. He was stuck right on at the end of the course, and most of my peers just dismissed him completely, I think.
Well, your desire to study Australian literature had its beginnings in Argentina, of all places. What happened there?
Well, I was studying Argentinian literature in Argentina as part of my studies in Spanish, and I was struck there by the emphasis on the national literature and found it a really rich way of getting to know the place. I was interested in seeing this language that I had learnt in high school at its most creative and poetic and the way it could conjure images of the place. And I was really amazed by the way that people took so much pride and interest in their own literature. And I had to learn all the subtleties of the Argentinian, what they call castellano, not Spanish, and, you know, would sit up all night with my Argentinian housemates who would explain these intricate, idiosyncratic uses of the Spanish there. And I was amazed. And so when someone asked me, you know, how come you're studying Argentinian literature here? What about Australian literature? I was quite ashamed when I couldn't give them a very good answer. And then when they asked me what were my favourite Australian books, I was again embarrassed because I really couldn't come up with very much.
Yes, not your fault, but it is embarrassing, isn't it? So with no official course on offer, when you go back to Melbourne, you start your own unofficial course. Tell us about that. How did that come about?
When I got back to Melbourne, I was looking at the subjects on offer and noticed that the only subject that's listed in the 2011 handbook that as not offered in 2011 is Australian literature, which is called the Australian Imaginary. And it sits among, you know, American classics, Shakespeare, postmodernism, various other things that have a certain amount of overlap, actually, in some of them. And so I was really, I was disappointed because I'd come back with a specific idea that I would study Australian literature. And, I sort of mumbled a bit to myself and to a couple of friends and then just realised that maybe I could set something up.
So you started this informal course in May this year.
Yes.
So they're held once a week on a Friday afternoon in a room that the university has provided for you.
Yes.
So who have you invited to speak to you and your fellow students?
The first people that came were the two poets, Petra White and Elizabeth Campbell, who are two young female poets who have been published by John Leonard Press. And they were really great. I got them to come just by, they have a blog called So Long Bulletin, and I didn't really know how to contact them and just posted a comment on their blog asking them to come. And they responded almost immediately and were really enthusiastic to come. And other people have included Pai O, who I know that you've spoken to before.
Right? Yes, yes.
Also Kevin Hart, Chris Wallace Crabb, Morag Fraser, the Miles Franklin judge, Ellen Koshland, who does poetry things for the Wheeler Centre, and Elliot Pellman, of course. And this week we have Michael Haywood coming to talk about the Erin Malley Affair.
Really? So really interesting. And what's the response of people when you ask them?
Generally, it's they're amazed, I think, that they were putting it on. And just mainly enthusiasm and generosity. I mean, everyone that's come has come completely out of their own time and, you know, unpaid or anything. It's just been completely voluntary. And I think they're amazed that young people want to read Australian literature.
And do they say anything about what they think about the university?
The people that come?
Yeah.
We try not to focus too much on that and just get ahead and start reading some really good stuff. But, I mean,
Well, you said you were feeling embarrassed before, but do you think that the university literature department's feeling a bit embarrassed now?
I don't know. I mean, I hope so, I guess. I know they haven't closed the course completely, and they are going to try to offer it next year. And I sort of understand that, you know, the lecturer left and it was hard, but at the same time, I just don't think that Australian literature should not be offered any year, because I find it amazing that we could be in Australia and not look at that at all.
Well, Sue Martin, should students have to resort to these sorts of measures to learn about Australian literature?
I'm very impressed that Stephanie has gone to all that effort. I suppose that I would say no, that ideally I would say every institution in Australia should manage to offer one Australian literature subject. Or, as Bernadette pointed out, Australian literature should be incorporated across the curriculum. That, as Bernadette was pointing out about Sydney first year, in our first year courses as well, Australian literature is naturally a part of the modern subjects that we teach, that it's incorporated into the area, not just a couple of poems, but our short story subject has a number of Australian short stories, so that students can see their national writing in the context of the national writings and the generic writings of other nations, and think about how that writing works alongside other writing. So I think that's an issue as well, that it shouldn't be sequestered off as one subject that goes on each year, but it should be incorporated as well. But I think, yes, ideally you'd have it on every year. I did talk to Ken Gelder at Melbourne Uni yesterday, and he said that the Australian literature subject will be offered next year. They're making a special effort, I think, to
imagine they would be, yes.
Put it back on the curriculum.
Yes, very quickly. Bernadette Brennan, what was your response to Stephanie's organisational triumph?
Well, I'm very impressed for a start, and Stephanie's the kind of student we see all the time, well, don't see all the time, I'm sorry, that we revel in when we do see a student like Stephanie, but it is that passion and interest and desire, and I would have thought that I know universities are on tight budgets, I know staffing is a problem, but to be able to answer a need of someone like Stephanie and her friends and to say, this is what you want to know about the literature of your country, of course we will offer you that opportunity. I would have thought that's what university should be about. So all hats off to Stephanie, I think that's fantastic, but I also feel for her because I think that's a very difficult thing to have to organise yourself and to keep up the momentum and to take on personally. So, and also there will come a point, I imagine, Stephanie, that you might want something more structured, that it shouldn't be up to you to decide who comes each week or whatever, that it would be nice to be introduced to other writers, other ideas that would feed into those that you have, that kind of idea, which is surely what academics should be providing for their students. But
Stephanie, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see myself as any kind of organizer extraordinaire, and that's not really a role that I love at all, actually. I just saw it as, yeah, I'd like to be a student of a course like this, and it didn't exist. So in order to be the student, I had to also become the maker of the course. if in an ideal world, I would just attend these classes every week and engage as fully as I could that way.
Sue Martin, is there a role and value, of course, for older Australian literature, Miles Franklin, Banjo Paterson, Henry Lawson, as well as more contemporary writers?
Well, I'm actually a specialist in 19th century Australian literature, so I would...
You'd say yes.
Yes, I was suggesting that Australian literature is perceived as conservative, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't read 19th century literature. Just because it comes from last century doesn't mean it's conservative, and indeed Miles Franklin, Henry Lawson were radicals in their time, and what students need is to be introduced to that literature and shown the way that it circulated in its own period and shown how it's been used and circulated since then for different purposes and reintroduced to it, I guess, or in many cases, of course, now introduced to it for the first time and shown it afresh, I suppose. So, yes, I think it certainly deserves to be read and looked at. And there's very exciting ways to look at that literature now because it's a lot of it is digitised. You can look at the original text. You can look at the way it appeared in the newspapers and it's quite exciting.
Bernadette Brennan, to what extent can we blame cultural cringe on students' reluctance to study Australian literature?
Oh, I think quite a lot we can blame cultural cringe. I think it still rears its ugly head. I think when Stephanie said that she did Australian literature at school and it was daggy, I think there is still a perception of that. I have had some students in the past say to me, oh, I did this because I thought it would be easy. And I'm saying, well, no, this is a literature unit. Oh, yeah, but I thought it was Australian, so it wouldn't be anything, you know, difficult. I think that's an extraordinary way of approaching it. But cultural cringe still operates. On the other hand, when students actually read some of the fantastic text we have, cultural cringe goes out the window and it becomes a matter of how exciting is this, that this is the cutting-edge stuff that is being published here in our country, that our writers are writing this. So it works both ways, but certainly I think in established university situations, sometimes the English literature wins out over the Australian literature because of that sense of tradition and that it's somehow better.
Stephanie, do you want to comment on that?
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I only read My Brilliant Career for the first time this year, and I just wish that I'd read it when I was 15, you know? I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we don't even know about the stuff, you know? I'd never even heard of so much brilliant stuff before this year. And I'm not alone at all. In this group, there's only a couple of people that have actually read much Australian literature, and we're just all kind of being amazed.
How many in your group, Stephanie?
Well, there's about 30 people on the mailing list, but it fluctuates a lot. A lot of people can't, you know, make the time to come. There's no assessment. You know, they don't get any credit for it. And so it fluctuates. And I was just thinking it was so funny now that people have getting interested in it, and here I am on the book show, but last Friday there was 5 of us there, and at first I thought, wow, this is so out of proportion, but then I think maybe that's the point, that there were only 5 of us there, and there should have been so many more, but because most people can't come to a course that isn't assessed, that they don't get credit for, that's in their own time, most students have to work on Fridays, you know, there were only 5 of us there.
But I guess the cost of doing courses has a bearing on the subject choice. The cost of going to uni. I guess people are choosing things that will lead them onto a career rather than studying something because they love it and that they don't get credit for it.
Well, I don't know about that. Doing a literature major doesn't exactly ensure your chances of jobs. Anyway,
it makes you a better person.
Sorry. Yeah.
Isn't it? And a more interesting person too.
Very good employment rate for graduates with arts degrees still, so which includes some studying literature. So don't
people say that, but I've got a lot of graduate friends who are working cafe jobs.
You can learn a lot in a cafe too. Look, thank you so much for being with us on the book show, all 3 of you. As we heard, Melbourne University says it will apply for an Australian literature specialist next year, which will be good news for Stephanie Guest and her fellow students. Hopefully there'll be an appointment. Many thanks to all of you. Dr. Sue Martin, who's Associate Professor in English at La Trobe University, Dr. Bernadette Brennan, who's Senior Lecturer with the Arts Faculty at Sydney University and the President of the Association for the Study of Australian Literature, and third year Melbourne University student Stephanie Guest, who started it all. Thanks a lot for being on the book show. I'm Ramona Kova. We're all on ABC Radio National.